verse 19. Just remain standing for a little bit longer. Psalm 19, verse 19. Has everyone got it? Psalm chapter 19, verse 19. Is it Psalms? Why did I say Psalms? I'm looking. It says 1 Kings 19. And I'm saying Psalms. It kind of looks like Psalms, does it? Not even. We're off to a good start. 1 Kings chapter 19 and verse 19 says this. So he departed thence and found Elisha, the son of Shaphat, who was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen before him, and he with the 12th. And Elijah passed by him and cast his mantle upon him. So we have here, we have Elisha, the son of Shaphat. He's plowing a field with 12 oxen. Everyone say 12 oxen. And Elijah walks past Elisha and he casts his mantle upon him. When the mantle was cast on him, we read what happens in verse 20. And he left the oxen and ran after Elijah and said, "Let me, I pray thee, let me kiss my father and my mother, and then I will follow you." And he said unto him, "Go back again, for what have I done to thee?" He says, "Go back, but don't forget what I have done to thee. Don't forget that I have cast my mantle on you." It goes into the next verse, verse 21, on the next slide there, Brother Ben. It says, "And he returned back from him, and took the yoke of oxen and slew them." Everyone say, "He slew them." "And he boiled their flesh with the instruments of the oxen." So he made a fire with the plow and with the yoke. He took the wood of the plow and the yoke, and he made the fire, and he boiled and cooked the oxen. And he gave it to the people, and they did eat. And after that, he arose, and he went after Elijah, and he ministered unto him. You see, the call of God was on the life of Elisha. Elijah went past and he threw his mantle out over him, which he knew what that meant. He meant, "You've been called." And he said, "Let me first go and kiss my mother and father." So he went back. He went back to the field that he was plowing, and he took that oxen and he slay it. And he took the plow, that wooden plow and that wooden yoke, and he made a fire with it. And he cooked the oxen. And then after he did that, after he burned the plow, after he cooked the oxen, he went and he arose and followed Elijah and ministered unto him. I want to preach this morning on this very simple thought. Burn your plow. Burn your plow. Turn to someone next to you and say, "Burn your plow." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we love you this morning. Lord, we want you to speak to us through your word, Lord God. I believe you have a word specifically for people here today. And Lord God, help our spiritual ears to be open to hear what you would say to the church. We pray this in your mighty and precious name, in the name of Jesus. And everybody say amen. Amen. You may be seated. Very, very interesting story. We've heard it preached before many times. But here is Elisha, just going about his everyday business, plowing a field. He was a farmer. He would have been out there many days out in that field, plowing the field with the same oxen and the same plow and the same yoke, day in and day out. It would have been the routine for him. And one day that man of God, Elijah, came walking past and he cast his mantle on him. He said, it's telling Elisha, "Now is your day. God has called you to greater things. You're no longer going to be plowing a field or farming, but God has called you to another level. God has a call on your life. He's got something for you to do." And Elisha's kind of a bit shocked. It's like, wow, that came totally unexpected. Everyone say unexpected. It was unexpected. So he says, okay, let me first go and kiss my mother and father. And he went back to his family. And the Bible says that he burned the plow, he burned the yoke, and he burned the oxen. He cooked the oxen and they ate it. And today, I want to talk about burning our plow. And as I preach, I pray that God would speak to you and show you what that plow is in your life that you need to burn. You see, Elisha realized something very, very important that day. He realized that the plow and the oxen and the yoke, they were not part of his destiny. Elisha realized that that plow and that oxen and everything that he was doing in the past and everything that was part of his life at that time, it was not going to be part of his destiny because God was calling him to move on from those things. So he slay the oxen and he burned the plow. So today my word to you is this: God wants to take you to another level in your relationship with him. God wants to take you to another level in your service to him. You see, we are not saved just to sit on a pew. Everybody say amen. If you believe, we are not saved just to come to church, to sit on a seat and just do nothing for the rest of our life. God didn't save you so that you could just vegetate on a pew. God has a plan for your life. Everybody point to themselves, say, God has a plan for my life. He has a plan for my life. And you see, I was asking myself as I was preparing this, how could the Christian life get boring? How could the Christian life be boring when there is a world of lost souls to reach? How could it be possible that we could get bored of serving God and get bored of the Christian life when there is a world full of souls to reach? How could it get boring when God is wanting to raise up prayer warriors? And God wants to raise up some prayer warriors in this church. How could it get boring when God wants to raise up evangelists? Yes, I'm looking at people that God wants to use you as an evangelist. You say, well, Pastor, you know, I can't see myself behind that pulpit anytime soon. I say, well, this is not the only place that evangelism happens. Evangelism happens when you go into all the world and you take the gospel and tell people about Jesus. You've got friends and family that need to hear about Jesus. How could we say that the Christian life is boring when there are souls to reach? God wants people to start discipling other new Christians. If you've been a Christian for any length of time, it's not a badge of honor. 30 years serving God. Let me tell you, that's not a badge of honor unless you are actually doing something with all of that time you've spent with God. Because if you've been serving God for 30 years, then you ought to be walking alongside some new Christians and helping to disciple them and doing Bible studies and teaching them to pray and fellowshipping with them and telling them about what you learned over 30 years of serving God. You see, being a Christian for 30 years is no badge of honor if you're not doing anything. In fact, if someone told me that they've been serving God 30 years, but they're not doing anything in the kingdom of God, I would feel like saying, shame on you. Because you haven't been serving God, you've just been coming to church. Because serving God is about the Great Commission. And also, God wants us to have the victory. Is there anybody ever feel like you're in the cycle of you get the victory and then you feel defeated? I want to tell you that God wants to take you to another level. God has a call on your life. And the mantle as it has been cast. When he saved your soul, God was saying, I want to use you in the kingdom of God. I want to use you in the kingdom of God. We are saved for a purpose. Everybody say a purpose. Way back in the beginning of the Bible, after the book of Genesis, we come to the book of Exodus. Exodus is a great book. I like just the title. You could preach just the title, the name of the book, Exodus, because it means to come out of. And many of us, like the children of Israel, they came out of Egypt. And Egypt speaks of sin. Egypt speaks of bondage and all of and slavery and all that. And when we are saved, God takes us out of Egypt. He takes us out of bondage. He takes us out of sin. He takes us out of all of that mess. And he takes us out, listen carefully, to take us in to the promised land. When God saved you, he didn't just pluck you out of Egypt and plop you in the wilderness. He took you out of Egypt to take you in. God took you out, not just to leave you wandering, but to take you in to the promised land. So when God saved you, he had a plan for your life. He wanted to take you in to that promised land. Out of bondage, out of sin, out of slavery and all that mess. But God took you out of there and he took you out of there to take you in to a new future. A transition. Everybody say a transition. And today is a time of transition for some. God has been speaking to you long enough that it's not good enough to just be out of sin but wandering in the wilderness. God brought you out. He saved your soul. He delivered you from all that he delivered you from because he had the call on your life and he wants to use you. Everybody say me. So it's time to change our attitude because many of us, it's easy to get an attitude that says, good enough is good enough. That's a lot of people. They say, well, you know what, Pastor? It's good enough. And if it's good enough, then it's good enough. But I want to say to you, good enough is not good enough unless it's God enough. Unless it's God enough, unless you are living the life that God has planned for you, it's not good enough. If you are outside the plan of God, if you're not doing something that God has called you to do, then it's not good enough. God wants to call you to God enough. Everybody say amen. We had our baby dedication this morning and transitions can be hard things. We learn a lot when I was at university. We learn about change management. And they do a whole course on change management, how to change an organization, and how to implement change and things like that. And we all know that even as adults, transition can be very hard. I mean, one of the worst things you could do in the office is rearrange where people sit. I remember some of the biggest problems you could have in the office is when you decided that you were going to put out a new seating plan. And when everybody was going to be changing seats, there was a bit of upheaval and a bit of unrest amongst the people because they're like, oh no, they're coming to change the way we're sitting. You see, we don't like change. And even as a young baby, transition can be very hard. It's probably not quite as hard as it is for adults. But we've had to transition our children from some things. Well, you know, all of our children, they have had dummies. Everybody say dummies. They've had dummies. And to transition them off the dummy is a hard thing to do. And like, what about the bottle? When you've given that bottle and every night they go to bed and you give them the bottle, when it comes time to say, you know what? We cannot be giving you that bottle anymore. It's a very hard transition to make. And I remember when we were transitioning our children off the dummy and the bottle, it was very, very hard. There was a lot of crying and a lot of tears. And you know what we had to do? When we were trying to get Lachlan off that dummy, we had to get rid of the dummy. We couldn't afford to have any dummies in the house. Because sure enough, he would find the dummy. And we would catch him in the corner, sucking on his dummy. And you know what happened right then? Right at that point, we realize that the process has started again. He's got it back. Now we have to try and get it off him. And with the bottles, we had to hide the bottles. We had to tell him that we sent the bottles to somewhere in the world where little children need bottles. And he was happy with that. But if he found the bottle, there would have been problems. You see, transition is a very, very hard thing. And we realized with all of our children that if we were going to transition them off the dummy and if we were going to transition them off the bottle, that we had to get rid of them and hide them because they could easily go back and they could get it again. And God wants to take us through a transition. God wants to take us into a new season. But there are some things that you cannot take into the new season which God has called you to. There are some things that you cannot take into your destiny that God has for you. And that is exactly where Elisha stood that day when the mantle from Elijah fell on him. He realized that he couldn't go back to plowing again. He realized that the farm field was no longer for him. He couldn't take the plow. He couldn't take the oxen. He couldn't take the yoke into his destiny. So he went back and he burned the plow. You cannot enter the new season with the old things. You cannot enter the new season with the old things. And tomorrow's destiny requires that we leave some things behind so that we are able to take hold of the new things that God has for us. Amen. So we need to burn some things. We need to burn some things so we can move into our God-given destiny. And God put a calling on Elisha. Elisha had an opportunity to enter into a phenomenal destiny with God, which would include a double portion of blessings, would include a double portion of favor. Elisha would see twice the number of miracles that Elijah experienced, but Elisha couldn't take the past with him. He had to let it go. Elisha realized that he couldn't take the plow into his future. He determined that he was going to go back to the plow and he was going to burn it so that he wouldn't be tempted to go back there again. Is good enough good enough? Or this morning, is there something inside of you this morning that says, God has more for me? God wants to do more in my life. I've got to have a deeper relationship with God. I want to serve Him with my whole heart. I know He called me to do more than just come to church. God, I want to walk into Your destiny. Next slide there, brother. Burning the plow. Burning the plow is about subtracting in order to add. Subtracting to add. Everybody say subtracting to add. It's about what you have to leave or what you have to let go of in order for God to take you where He's taking you to. This subtracting to add is about God calling you to a deeper place of surrender to Him. It's about giving up those things that you once held so close. It's about cutting ties with those things in the past and the sin and the temptation and the things that keep dragging you back. It's about going forward into the destiny that God has for you. Burning the plow is about subtracting to add. But burning the plow is also about obedience to God. This is one thing we don't like to talk about a lot, obedience. Because, I mean, this whole Bible is the Word of God. We are called to be obedient to the Word of God. But God demands obedience. And unfortunately, we don't like obedience because, number one, obedience usually will take you down first and then it will elevate you. So the young child that is at home, 13 years old, needs to do his homework. You say, son, you got to do your homework. You got to study for that test because you have an exam next week. And he says, I don't want to do it. What a waste of time. There's so many other things that I could be doing. I don't want to study for my test. I don't want to do my assignment. You know what he's scared of? He's scared of it's going to be an inconvenience to him at first. True? An inconvenience to his little life, as busy as it may be, as complex as a 13-year-old's life can get. His life is either school or play. That's pretty good. But you see, obedience will usually take you down first. It's usually an inconvenience, but it will elevate you in the long run. And see, that's the reason why the parents are saying, hey, you got to do your homework. You got to do your assignment. I know it may be an inconvenience now, but in the long run, you're going to be better off for it. And you see, obedience to God is the same. When we read God's word, we say, you know what? I feel God challenging me. I got to change some things in my life. And we say, what an inconvenience. I don't want to change. But let me tell you, if you would obey the word of God, if you would hearken to the word of God, yes, it may be a short-term inconvenience, but it will be better for you in the long run. Because obedience usually takes you down first before it elevates you. And so today, the plow can symbolize many things. Today, if you aren't living for Jesus, if you haven't given Jesus your life, if you haven't been born again, if you haven't made up your mind that you want to serve Jesus with your whole heart, I'm preaching to you. I want to tell you that Jesus loves you. And I want to tell you more than just that he loves you, but he has a destiny for you. And God has a plan for your life. He didn't give you the talents. He didn't give you the resources that he gave you and all the opportunities for you just to waste them and to take them to a grave. He didn't call you to giving you all these talents just for you to be able to take them to the grave and just waste them all on temporal things. But God has called you to start investing in the eternal things of life. Because so today, if you haven't decided that you want to follow Jesus with your whole life, I want to tell you, it's time to turn to Jesus. It's time to give your life to him because he has a plan and he has a destiny for your life. So in order to repent, repentance is simply the term that we turn around. And this burning of the plow speaks a lot of repentance. If we're going to move forward, if we're going to start following Jesus, we've got to go back and we've got to destroy the sin in our life. And the Bible says that when we are baptized, that our sins are washed away. But also when we repent, repentance is two things. It's an inward change of attitude. Everyone say inward. An inward change of attitude that results in an outward change of action. So some things are going to change. You're going to have to go back and you're going to have to let go of some of those temptations and some of those habits that you had before. You're going to have to go back and burn some things in your past so they're not there anymore. They're not a temptation to go back any longer. And this whole simple process, principle, is called repentance. But let's talk about those that have been serving God for some time now if we turn to Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1. You would recognize this from our home friendship group lessons this week. Just gone. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1. Talking about this race that we run as Christians. It says this. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. These witnesses are the people that have gone before us. The Apostle Paul, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Peter. People that have fought the good fight of faith. We are compassed about with such a greater cloud of witnesses. It's like they're in the stadium cheering us on as we run the race of faith. And it says, let us lay aside every weight and the sin. Now, sin can be a weight, but this scripture tells us there are weights and there is sin. It says, lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. There is a sin and there is a weight. So, what are these weights? We talked about some of them in Home Friendship Group just this on the last Wednesday. Some of these weights are the things, they might not necessarily be sin, but they're those things that keep drawing us back to our old life. And you know, Elisha, when the mantle fell on him from Elijah, he realized that he had to get rid of some things in his past. He had to get rid of some weights. So he went back and he burnt that oxen and he burnt that plow, and then he walked in to his destiny that God had for him. I'm preaching to somebody today. It's time to stop being satisfied with good enough. Good enough is not good enough unless it's God enough. It's time to begin to walk into your calling that God has for you. But you've got to go back and you've got to burn some of those things in the past, some of those things that you've been holding on to. You've got to release some things from your grasp in order to be able to walk into your destiny. John chapter 14 and verse 12 says this, "Verily, verily, I say unto you," this is the destiny that God has for us, "He that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also." Jesus says, "He that believeth on me," if you're going to follow me, if you're going to believe me through the infilling of the Holy Spirit, "the works that I do, you shall do also, and greater works than these." This is what God has called us to. It says, "Greater works than these shall ye do, because I go unto my Father." Jesus is saying, as he left the disciples and those that were following him at that time, the Bible says that they were filled with the Holy Spirit, all right? That he sent the Comforter, which is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the power for us to live a righteous life. It is the power of God residing inside of us. And that's why Jesus could say such a thing. It was his Spirit living inside of us. He said, "Greater works than these shall you do." Jesus says, "The things that you've seen me do, you're going to do them, but not just them, but greater works." You see, God has called us to walk in victory. God has called us to walk in the power of the Holy Spirit. And we need to get our eyes off good enough and get our eyes on what God wants for us. Greater things are yet to be done in this city. Greater things are yet to be done in this church. Greater things are yet to be done in our lives. And too many people are living below the potential of what God wants to do in their lives. We need to follow Jesus to the next level. So this scripture, 1 Kings chapter 19, is a call to us. The Bible says that the Old Testament are examples or ensamples for us. These things are there for our teaching. We can learn things from these scriptures. And one thing that we can learn from the story of Elijah and Elisha in 1 Kings chapter 19 is that in order to walk into your God-ordained destiny, you have to go back and get rid of some things in the past. Number one, 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 19. Go back there now, 1 Kings 19, verse 19. It's not going to be on the screen, so I ask you just to move there in your Bible. 1 Kings chapter 19 and verse 19, back in our text. It says, "So he departed thence and found Elisha, the son of Shaphat, who was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen before him, and he was with the 12th. And Elijah passed by him, and he cast his mantle on him." The first point, next slide there, Brother Ben, is that God has a higher calling for you. Let's read that together. God has a higher calling for me. Everybody say me. God has a higher calling for me. So here he is plowing the field, and along comes Elijah and casts his mantle on him. Now, here's the deal. Most of us are not in danger of ruining our lives, but we face a much greater danger of wasting our lives. Say that again. Most of us are not in danger of ruining our lives. We face a much greater danger of wasting our lives. Elisha wasn't searching for greater when he was invited to the higher calling. Elisha was just plowing the fields and the mantle hit him and God was calling him to a destiny. And maybe today you say, "You know what? I wasn't expecting God to speak to me like this. I wasn't expecting a message like this from the pastor." And you can already feel on your life that God is calling you to a greater level of walk with him. That God is calling you to greater service. Maybe you feel stuck in just a place of existence. Just day to day, good enough is good enough. Do you want to do something greater for God? Do you want the will of God for your life? Do you feel like you're just living in maintenance mode? Maintenance mode, just going through the motions, just trying to maintain your walk with God. Maybe you're living your spiritual life in cruise control. I want to tell you today that God didn't save you just to leave you in the wilderness, but God saved you because he wants to take you into the promised land. And something needs to awaken in us and say, "Ah, God, I want to walk in the plan that you have for my life." It happens in a moment. There is Elisha just doing what he does every day, Brother Jim. Brother Morty, Brother Morris, just doing what he does every day, just plowing that field. And then the call of God comes. It comes in an instant. And here he is. This call of God on our lives requires us to follow a person and not a plan. When God says, "Come follow me," he says, "Come follow me." And you say, "Okay, God, but where are we going?" He says, "No, follow me. Follow me." You say, "But I want a plan. I want to know all the how it's all mapped out and exactly what's going to happen and what's going to happen along the way." He says, no, you follow me. Brother Morty, if I can use you as an example, if you could stand up for a second. This is the way that God often leads us. Come over here. We have to trust God. So our destiny is over there. And what does God say? He says, "Don't worry about your destiny. You just trust me." That's a difficult thing. We want to see where we're going. And God says, "You just keep your eyes on me and I will back you into your destiny. Just keep your eyes on me. Don't worry. It's all under control. I got a plan for your life." You see, that's really scary, but that's what God wants us to do. He wants us to trust him. He wants us to follow him. We say, "Give me the plan," but there is no plan, just what I've got for your life, he says. So we are called to follow a person and not a plan. God is inviting us to escape the same old, to escape good enough is good enough, and to walk into our God-given destiny. What does it mean? Does this mean that I'm going to do something different, Pastor? Does this mean that tomorrow I'm walking off the job and just going to go and do something different? It might mean that, but very often it just means that you are living with a greater passion and a greater purpose. Is that when you turn up to work and your job, you say, "You know what? I'm not just here from 9 to 5 to get some money and go home. But if I'm going to be at work, I'm going to do something for the kingdom of God. I'm going to be a shining light. I'm going to pray for my colleagues. I'm going to be there when they need to talk to somebody. I'm going to take the opportunities to share Jesus with them." We are called to greater. Everybody say greater. We are called to a deeper surrender. It says in verse 20, "And he left the oxen," he surrendered, "and he ran after Elijah." He said, "Let me go, let me kiss my mother and father." And Elijah said, "Go back, don't forget what I told you." He went back and he burned everything that tied him to his previous life of good enough. God doesn't wait for you to be ready to accept the invitation to deeper surrender. He wants you to burn everything that is tethering you to the world behind you and to put your trust in him. You have to make a decision. When you first followed Jesus, you made a decision. You said, "I'm going to leave the world behind. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. I have decided the cross before me, the world behind me. I want God's plan for my life." Next thing is I want you to think about this surrender. What is it that God is speaking to you today? You see, God's word is powerful. I can preach a word and God can speak in different ways. God is speaking to people's hearts right now about the things that you are holding on to that you need to burn and get out of the way, because they keep dragging you back. The temptation is still there. Maybe there's bitterness in your life this morning and you find yourself just constantly just going back to it. Resentment. Maybe you've just got to let go of the excuses of the past and just go back and burn the plow. And say, I don't want anything in my life that's going to tether me to my past. I've got to move on in God. And maybe young people, maybe there's some friends that you got in your life that are taking you on the wrong path, leading you down the wrong way. You've got to say in your heart, say, you know, I cannot be tethered to them any longer. I'm not going to be mean. I'm not going to be cruel. But I just can't maintain that friendship any longer, because God has a greater destiny for me. God has called us to rise up with wings as eagles. And sometimes we find ourselves hanging around with chickens. Excuses, resentment, bitterness, ways of thinking, all of those things, addictions, whatever, bad habits. God wants us to go back. We got to burn those things so that we can move on in God. The last one is God is calling you to greater things. It says, and he returned, verse 21, returned back from him, took the yoke of oxen and slew them and boiled their flesh with the instruments of the oxen and gave unto the people, and they did eat. Then he arose and went after Elijah and ministered unto him. If God takes something from you and removes you from a situation that you thought was good, then remember, he's taking you to something greater. He's taking you to something greater. And God wants your open-ended, unconditional obedience. And say, God, whatever it is you want for my life, I want to follow you. So today I want to ask you, what is your plow? What is that thing that is chaining you to your past? What is that thing that's holding you back from reaching your God-ordained destiny? What is your plow today that God is calling you to go back and to burn it? What is that plow that is chaining you to the ordinary? What is that plow that is restricting you from experiencing all that God has for your life? I ask you, what is your plow today? Elisha was a man waving farewell. God has greater things for me. God has a higher calling for me. God wants deeper surrender from me. God wants to do greater things to me. So he left family, friends, he left the familiar, he left financial security, and he walked out. He killed the oxen, he burnt the plows, he burnt the yoke that goes around their neck, representing all of the old life. And he said, you know what? I'm not coming back. There's nothing here for me anymore. So today I ask you, have you said your final farewell to sin? Are you ready to follow Jesus? Have you killed those sacred cows and burnt the instruments of iniquity? Have you utterly destroyed the fleshly desires that keep dragging you back into your past? I come to preach today. It's time to burn the plow. Have you burned those instruments of iniquity in your past? Will you say that final farewell to that pet sin that too long has just held you back? You see, I believe many, God has called you out of sin. God has done a great work in your life. He has saved you. He has taken you out of Egypt. And today you find yourself wandering in the wilderness. Just around and around and around and around. And God has called you out. He called you out to bring you in to the promised land. And so when we get caught in that wilderness, just going around and around in circles, we say, you know what? It's good enough. And good enough is good enough. But God has a plan and God has a destiny for your life. Everybody say amen. Let's stand in this place this morning. What is your plow? What is your plow? Amen. What is your plow that God is speaking to you about today. All of us have things in our life that God wants us to deal with today. Things that we are still tethered to. We need to cut the ties, cut the strings, and say, I cannot hold on to that any longer. I can't hold on to that sin. I can't hold on to that unforgiveness. I can't hold on to that resentment. It's holding me back. It's restricting me in my walk with God. I wanted to do what God wants me to do. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. And you can sing that song. But if you have things that you haven't got rid of in the past, things that you have not let go of, there's always going to be a temptation. There's always going to be a luring pulling us back. But just like Elisha today, God is calling to burn the plow, to slay the oxen, to burn the yoke, and to go on and do what God wants for your life. Amongst this church, the call of God is on many people's lives. Just over the last 2 weeks, I've been believing that there are many here that God has called you out of sin, praise the Lord, but you now find yourself wandering in the wilderness. Yeah, out of sin, yes, but wandering in the wilderness. And this is just a simple message to say, come on, it's time to walk into the promised land. It's time to walk into the plan of God for your life. And also, there are some that have taken some things from Egypt. You thought you could bring them out with you, and you're still tethered to them. You're still holding on to them. And you're saying, Pastor, I want to go into the promised land, but there are these things I can't let go of. Things that are familiar to me. Things that it's good enough for me, Pastor. I'm all right. Tethered to them. It's time to burn the plow. And it's time to walk into God's destiny for your life. Let's all lift our hands across this place this morning. Very important time right now. It's what God has been speaking to you. It's time to receive that word into your heart. Lord Jesus, I pray as the seed of your word has gone forth today, Lord God, that it would find soil, that it would find fertile soil and soft ground, Lord Jesus. Lord God, we thank you for speaking to us today. Lord God, we thank you for your word, Lord God, that calls us to deeper and higher things in you. Lord God, we thank you, Lord, that you have a plan for our life. We thank you, Lord, that you want to do something through our life. But Lord God, help us to burn the plow, the things of the past, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We're going to sing a song now. This altar is open if you want to come and pray. But what is that one thing that God is speaking to you? I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus.